Let us turn again to the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, reading at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. At last prayer meeting, we considered this particular part of the armor of God. It is the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. How effective is this piece of armor? It enables us not to quench just some, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember the shield of the Romans was like a door. It was a door-like shield, 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long. And the shield of faith is very large and is able to stop a variety of temptations that the evil one sends our way. And we need that shield so greatly because the fiery darts of the wicked are doubly dangerous. We noticed that as they are darts, they pierce, and as they are fiery darts, they set the soul aflame. Satan, who is the evil one that we wrestle against, not with flesh and blood, but with wicked spirits, the evil one ejects evil thoughts into our minds, and thereby sets our souls on fire with evil intentions, tempting us and persuading us to go in an evil course of action. And only the shield of faith can quench these flaming missiles, these fiery darts of the wicked. So we need that unwavering confidence in God. Like David, we must flee to God and continually resort to him. And we know that faith is a shield because it goes to God as our shield, God to protect us. And faith, by faith, a believer holds fast the truth and cleaves to God with purpose of heart. And so we noticed also last time that one way that faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked, when it comes to enticing temptations that Satan throws at us, faith shows the believer the reality of sin and death. Satan presents just a fair appearance of pleasing temptations, and he conceals the fact that sin will bring us under the wrath of God. But faith sees through the pleasures of sin and sees the wages of sin to be death and bitterness and gall, to chain us down to the bottomless pit. So faith sees what we don't see with the outward eye. Faith beholds not only the Lamb of God, but the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and sees reality. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Here is reality. And if we are led by the Spirit, we have faith and we see these things which we don't see with the outward eye. We see the things that are revealed in the Word of God. Well, that is what we noticed last time, briefly at least, the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Satan tempts us with worldly pleasure in the things of this life, but faith overcomes the world and looks to Christ. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, this evening we want to consider how the shield of faith quenches three particular fiery darts of the wicked. In regard to how Satan tempts us to unbelief, the three evils which have their root in unbelief are atheism, blasphemy, and despair. And as I said, the root of these three is unbelief. And Satan tempts us with these three fiery darts, that we would doubt the existence of God, that we would blaspheme his holy name, that we would despair of hope or mercy. And so these are the three points to consider this evening: the fiery dart of atheism, secondly, the fiery dart of blasphemy, and thirdly, the fiery dart of despair, and how faith enables us to quench these fiery darts. Well, we begin with the fiery dart of atheism. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Here is our duty. Take it. Take the shield of faith. Believe. Exercise faith in God. Look by faith to Jesus. And you will be able to quench all, not just some, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery dart of atheism. We read in Psalm 14, the psalm that we sang, that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But we are all atheists. We are all practical atheists. Remember, it is not so much intellectually that the fool says there is no God, but in his heart he is saying there is no God, or he is wishing there to be no God. But we have to ask every one of ourselves tonight, does that describe us? We're not saying it with our mouths, we're not thinking in our minds, but are we secretly wishing it were the case in our hearts? I would be glad, you might say deep within you, if there were no God at all. And I wouldn't have to be accountable. I could just ignore my conscience. It's all just imagination anyway. I will have peace no matter what I do. Everything's going to be all right. That's atheism. It's a practical atheism. Your heart and life are such that it would be consistent if there were no God. And that's an awful condition, to say the least. And how such should be awakened, that God is a reality, and God will hold us accountable, and we need by faith to flee to Christ, lest the storm of wrath overtake us, and we need to trust in the only one who can save us from the wrath to come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you see, the believer, and that's the context we're thinking of, a believer who may be tempted to doubt the existence of God. And not because the believer doesn't want there to be God, to be a God. The believer does love God and wants to be assured that God exists. But the believer is troubled. In this particular case, there may be nobody here tonight in this situation, but there may be. And you may be a believer, and you might go through this eventually. And the Word of God equips you to resist the temptations of Satan. the believer is troubled with doubts about the existence of God. And these are fiery darts. Very likely they are fiery darts of the wicked one, because once they are lodged in the mind, they cause such consternation. It's like a tumultuous flame, and the believer is now scrambling to put the blaze out. The believer hates these thoughts. He or she is doing their best to get rid of them, and they're crying to the Lord for mercy. And it's really only the shield of faith that can quench this fiery dart. And it is comforting when a child of God can see the best evidence for the existence of God is right here in the heart, in the love that the believer has for God. Not only does the believer have natural light and conscience that every person has in this world to know that there is a God, conscience tells us there is a God, but the believer has the new nature. He or she is a new creature in Christ, has the law of God written on the heart, and the image of God restored, and there's a love for God. And so what a testimony to one's sincerity when the believer does not allow himself to sin against God, even when harassed by such terrible atheistic thoughts. And as Gernall puts it, whatever Satan may say about such a believer, that person is no atheist in God's account. Well, the shield of faith is absolutely necessary when the believer is troubled with these fiery darts towards atheism. We may be tempted to turn to reason and persuade ourselves of the existence of God because of the evidence of creation, and using arguments like every effect has a cause and you have to trace it back to the first cause, and the first cause must be God. But you see, if we look to reason to persuade us of the existence of God, that would content Satan. Satan would be happy with that, because he is a more able disputer than we are. He can use reason much more quickly and ably and with greater skill than we can. And therefore, we're to go immediately to God, taking the shield of faith and believe his word. You see, reason has its place, but it should never take the place of faith. Again, William Gurnall believes that the few who profess to be atheists have been great advocates of reason. And because they have neglected the word of God, God left them to themselves to reason and dispute themselves into flat atheism. That's where reason will take us if we look only to reason. Often it will take us into atheism. So the answer is to believe the word of God. That's the solution. The shield of faith, believe. What does faith believe? The word of God. And to believe the word of God that God is. You remember the proof text for that, Hebrews chapter 11. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Reason, we don't look to reason to declare to us that God is. We believe that God is, because the word of God tells us that God is. So faith rests upon the word. Faith must come first. And why is that? Because faith, the object of faith is not reason. The object of faith is the word of God. And what should be superior in our own mind, the Word of God or reason. Clearly, the Word of God is supreme. We should believe the Word of God, and if our reason is agreeable to the Word of God, then we accept our reason. But if it goes contrary to the Word of God, then we set it aside. Gurnall put it this way, that the Word of God is the superior light, and reason is the inferior light. The greater light is the sun. The lesser light is the moon. Well, the Word of God is the greater light, and we're to go to the greater light first and foremost. And we must judge our reason by the Word. We must not accept the Word only if it fits our reason. And so we should follow the example of Christ. What did Christ do? Did he use reason when he made war with the devil? No, he went to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus could outwit Satan using logical arguments, but the Lord Jesus is showing our example, showing us an example, and that is to go to the Word. So God provides us the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, believing the Word of God, that God is. There is a God, because the Word of God tells us there's a God. There's a divine authority in the Word. We can trust it. And using the means that God has provided us, we can be assured that there will be success. In other words, we can be assured that Satan will be resisted. Satan will flee from us. If we're resting upon the Word, we might be in a storm, a fiery storm of all kinds of doubts hurled at us, harassed by the blaze of doubts of the existence of God. But if we're holding onto the Word of God, we will hold out till the storm is over and the fiery darts will be quenched. Well, what place does reason have? It has a place, but not the place of faith. Faith comes first, and after the storm is over, then we can use reason to strengthen our faith. But in the storm, when we're harassed with these fiery darts, we've got to hold fast by faith to God revealed in the Word. That's the greater light. We don't need reason in one sense. All the stars in the sky, to use that analogy, will not show us the clear path before us. But when the sun shines, the sun is up and the sun shines, it will show us the path before us without the stars in the sky. So the Word of God is the greater light, and we cleave to the Word, and that will show the path before us, that God exists. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Only the shield of faith can quench these fiery darts. Well, the fiery dart of blasphemy in the second place. What is blasphemy? In one sense, all sin is blasphemy against the goodness of God and the holiness of God. But we usually think of blasphemy in that a man thinks or speaks anything that is derogatory to God's holiness or his works with the intention of reproaching God. Blasphemy. So here is another fiery dart. When such evil thoughts come into the mind, it is alarming to the child of God. Nothing more frightening, nothing more troubling than evil thoughts about God. And it's like the heart and soul is blazing, and the child of God is longing for deliverance. Oh, to be rid of these horrible thoughts in my mind about God. And what is happening? Most likely, it's Satan with his fiery darts. Satan cannot persuade a child of God to give up Christ and come back into Satan's kingdom. He can't do that. So what he will do is make the life of the child of God as miserable as he can, sending these fiery darts of blasphemy. Now you see, sinners already blaspheme God in their hearts. So there's a tendency to do that from our own evil hearts. The Lord Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies from our hearts. But only the shield of faith can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one and our own evil hearts. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit working faith in us. Now the question is, God has provided us the shield of faith. How do we use it to quench these fiery darts? Well, what did David say in Psalm 16, verse 8? I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Blasphemy, in a way, operates when God is not before the mind. When God is before our view, it's hard to blaspheme God. And wicked men going on in their sin and rebellion against God, they blaspheme his name. Are they reading their Bibles? Do they go to church? No, they're profane. They're blaspheming the precious name of the Savior. They don't love the Savior. They don't even know who the Savior is. So, as we read in one of the Psalms, Psalm 54, verse 3, they have not set God before them. Gernall makes the point that when a person defames another and slanders and talks bad about others, it's usually behind their back. But they will rarely say such things to their face. You see where we're going with this? To avoid blasphemous thoughts, we must have God before our view, the holy presence of God. And all of our thoughts about God is to be shaped by his word. Go to the word of God. Read about his attributes, his holiness, his justice, his goodness. That's the method that the shield of faith takes when it's endeavoring to quench these fiery darts of blasphemy. Faith sets God before the soul. Faith sets God within sight and hearing of all the secret thoughts and ways of the believer. When the soul is in awe of God, reverence of in regard to the glory of God, then the blasphemous thoughts will go away. Gernall puts it this way: faith eyes God who eyes the soul, and the soul is thereby preserved. Faith eyes God who eyes the soul, and the soul is thereby preserved. Faith interprets all the providences of God according to his word. Faith will believe no report of God except what the word of God gives. Satan will tempt us to have hard thoughts of God, verging on blasphemy. But the word of God is opposed to those thoughts, and we're to cleave again to the word of God. Another remedy is to bless the Lord. And that is the very opposite to blasphemy. Blessing is the opposite of blasphemy. When we're tempted to blasphemy, when Satan throws those fiery darts at us, let us engage in blessing God. And when we're blessing God, it's very hard for Satan to make us blaspheme God. When Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi, they weren't thinking hard thoughts of the Lord Jesus for allowing them to be stripped and smitten and beaten with rods. They were praising God. And it was very hard, it would have been very hard to get them to blaspheme Christ when they were praising him. We sang Psalm 57, verse 7, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." So there's the remedy, the shield of faith, fixed upon God, eyeing God, looking to God and praising him, not only accepting it, accepting God's dealings with us, but praising God. Can we find it in ourselves, and of course it's not of ourselves, it's of grace, to praise God even when we're going through hardship? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Faith will eye the mercy of God in the greatest affliction. And the shield of faith is seeing. Again, that's what faith is. It is seeing what we don't see. It is seeing what is revealed in the Word, even though we don't see it with our eyes. There is faith to behold, to look, to view God as revealed in his Word. And when we're troubled, when we're going through hardship, when Satan is harassing us and tempting us to think that God is a unfair God because he is treating you this way, if Satan is tempting us that way, we're to believe the revealed truth, and to believe, and he that believeth will not make haste. The heart is fixed. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. And faith also, to quench this fiery dart, works love in the heart and crucifies that enmity. And briefly, faith also discovers the source of blasphemy. Where are these blasphemous thoughts coming from? Faith believes the word of God. Faith is discerning and distinguishes between the corruptions of our own hearts and the fiery darts of the wicked. And how? As is often said, but it is true, we may know that the evil thoughts we have are the fiery darts of the wicked one by the time at which these thoughts occur. Often it is after first conversion, or perhaps after the child of God is engaged in holy meditations. And then the manner, the way in which these thoughts come violently and suddenly, like lightning before the mind, striking us. The fiery dart has been sent and troubles our minds with evil thoughts of God. Usually the mind works with a dependency of one thought upon the other, and one thought leads to another thought. But we may know that these are blasphemous thoughts sent by the evil one when they come suddenly, out of nowhere. The mind usually doesn't work that way, and so that is evidence that Satan has sent it. And also, the effect. If the thoughts produce horror in our hearts and we're greatly troubled, well, then we may know it is very likely that is Satan's fiery dart. And so the point is, faith discerns between our own corruptions and Satan's fiery darts. And therefore, if they are Satan's temptations, and he has injected these thoughts in our minds or shot these arrows in our hearts, then why should we be so troubled? We are no more responsible for these evil thoughts than if a thief were breaking into our house. We would not be responsible for that. It is the thief and not us. He's the one who is sinning, breaking into our hearts and stealing our things. And so it is Satan breaking into our hearts and troubling us with these evil thoughts. And we're to go to God and complain to him and by faith trust in him to deliver us from Satan's temptations. But what if we discover that these blasphemous thoughts are from our own hearts? The shield of faith. Of course, it's not so much the fiery dart of the wicked one, but still, the shield of faith believes in the forgiveness of sins and that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. All manner. Whatever comes from the heart it is possible to be forgiven, and the sin will be forgiven if we're going by faith to Jesus and his precious blood. And of course, that brings us to the third point, which is the fiery dart of despair, which we'll probably save for another occasion. But Satan tempts us not only to sin, but he tempts us to despair of the forgiveness of those sins. He is the tempter and the tormentor. And so when we think of young people and growing up in the church, as Satan tempts them, you ought to just explore these pleasures. Just go ahead and try it out for yourself. You'll never know what is more pleasing unless you just give it a try. Try out these sinful pleasures. Maybe you'll really like it and it will be more rewarding. Satan tempting you, alluring you, fiery darts. But then, once you have tasted these sinful pleasures to your great detriment and great regret and shame, then Satan will tempt you saying, look how far you've gone in sin. There's no hope for you. There's no forgiveness for you. You're too great a sinner. So Satan tempts the other way, tempting us to despair of the forgiveness of sins. But the shield of faith quenches that fiery dart by ascribing greatness to God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and there is forgiveness and salvation for the chief of sinners. And we will consider that on another occasion. Are we taking the shield of faith? God is providing us the whole armor and putting in our hands this shield to cover us when we are shot at by the missiles of the evil one, the flaming fiery darts, that we might be protected, that all of those fiery darts would be blunted, would fall to the ground, and would be quenched, that we might be delivered from temptation, that we might stand, having done all to stand. Are we seeing our need of standing in this evil day? We need the Holy Spirit to quicken us, work faith in us, that we would cleave to the Lord, holding fast, believing, even when we don't see with our outward eye, looking at the things which are not seen, going to Jesus and beholding the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. May he bless his word. Let us pray.